love it when a plan comes together.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me it is clearly an instrument of peace and liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights. And considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Few rights that man is born with, and has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia? King Bull and Crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I've done. Who's today looking out about the way it used to be? They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Yep, and it's old Stormy himself. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 27th of March. It's a Wednesday. And we've got a few news things, and as I promised, I don't know if I promised, but I told you I'm going to try, and I'm trying hard. I'm going to have some training issues, training or, you know, informational stuff a little more often here, and not crowd the whole show with stuff that's all over Facebook anyway. So most of you are getting a lot of these stories beforehand, but sometimes I like to comment on them, whether you've seen them or not. So that's what I do. So I told you I'd have some news. Before I do this, let's go see if anybody's here. I'll tell you what, Friday night was pretty dismal. That's changed my mind on what I'm planning to do here, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. As soon as we find out if we're getting any sound or not, I don't see anybody putting anything up there. I'd like to see a show of hands. Thank you, Tebow. Okay, we do have sound. So here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. Excuse me. Starting next week. Well, let's see if that'll work out. I told you. I think. Yeah, it will. It'll work out next week because I told you on April 1st there were going to be some changes. And let me see here. Go to April. Yeah, that'll be Monday. Okay, so that'll work out fine. That week, I had originally thought that I would knock out Wednesdays. So what I'm going to do is knock out Fridays. I will try to do each and every week, try to do a fresh pre-record. And if not, there's lots of archives on there. But I told everybody why this was going to happen, and nothing changed. So I'll be live Monday and Wednesday with the same thing we've always done. And have a fresh pre-record on Fridays. So that's what's going to happen starting next week. Most of the, this last Friday we had like six people in the chat room. So obviously we're getting, you know, I don't know how many, 160, 200, sometimes 400 downloads on Liberty Lounge on the podcast, so they don't know whether I'm live or not, so it doesn't make any difference. So actually they know I'm not live because they're downloading a podcast. So that's what's going to happen starting next week. So let's get on with a few of the things. I've got to get back to my other screen here. I'm lost already. Haven't even started yet, and I'm already lost. Is this the right one? Yeah, here we go. Okay, where to start? We've got... Let's start with a stand your ground story out of Wyoming. Wyoming just had a brand new stand your ground law here within the last maybe 6 weeks ago, something like that, and it has already been tested. And what has happened? The judge that tried this case said that I think it was a woman. I think she said that, you know, we're not even sure how to go about this. This is brand new, and we're exploring uncharted waters here. So originally, one court convicted this guy, and then a higher court come along and overturned it and drop the charges on this guy. So here's what happened. If you remember the story of Joe Horn back in Texas, we'll get back to that in a minute. We've talked about it numerous times, but this guy in Wyoming invited a guy over to his house, invited him over to fight him. They were about to go to fisticuffs, and he invited him over to do that. And when he got there, the guy, I think, came in the house. This happened near Casper. Matter of fact, Casper Mountain may have some more information on this. I talked to him lately. Yeah, I did. He sent me a text here a couple days ago. But invited him over, and I guess the guy came in the house. And the guy that lived in the house that invited him over shot him 8 times with an AR-15. Some of those after he was already down, unable to... incapacitated, unable to do anything, run away or fight back or anything. The guy was unarmed, but due to the way that Wyoming's self-defense laws and the new Castle Doctrine law is written, or Stand Your Ground law it is, yeah, Stand Your Ground law, they had to turn him loose. This was like the Joe Horn case. It was cold-blooded murder. I don't know how in the world he got away with this. It said the judge said that after she dismissed the case, said that the Wyoming case law noted the absence of Wyoming case law to help inform her of her decision, for her decision. So at any rate, this. She said that she invited the guy to home for an altercation, arming himself with an AR-15 assault rifle and shooting Willow, was the guy's name he shot, who was unarmed 8 times, creates a legitimate question of fact concerning whether John was entitled to use deadly force. That question of fact should be submitted to a jury. Well, they said that the lawyer said he never should have been charged with a crime to start with. So this, obviously part of this is a unethical lawyer to begin with. I know that's their job. I know that's what they get paid to do. They get paid to be unethical. But at any rate, this was murder. The story of Joe Horn, if you remember back in Texas, that was like 10, 11 years ago. The guys turned out to be illegal aliens. However, he didn't know that at the time. He just knew that 2 people were coming out of his neighbor's house, and they were gone with goods that they had stolen. And he called 911 while he was on the phone. I think we just talked about this a few days ago. But while he was on the phone with 911, the cops had showed up. The 911 operator told him the cops had showed up and to stay in the house. Joe Horn told her that I have a right to defend myself, hung up, went outside. He was already inside behind closed doors.
defending yourself is not going outside and shooting two people in the back with a shotgun that are stealing stuff. There is a fine line there between protecting property, you know, how much, when and if you can use deadly force to protect property. Some states, like New Mexico, have it written in their law that you can use deadly force to defend property. At what point does it become okay to defend property with deadly force? And the scenario I used to use in the classroom all the time was, is it okay to shoot somebody for stealing your towel at the swimming pool? Or, you know, maybe different if you're somebody stealing your car and your kid's in it, or lighting fire to your house, or killing your prize stallion out there that makes you your living. You know, those might be different. But there were some cases tried in Arizona or New Mexico while I was there that very questionable. Very questionable. So that's what's going on in Wyoming right now. Hey, you wheel gun fans, I got something for you. You're going to like this. I like it, and I'm not even that big of a fan of wheel guns anymore. I still got a couple of them. But remember the old Smith & Wesson Model 610 revolver? Well, the 610, as the 10 would indicate, is a 10 millimeter. With the help of moon clips, you can shoot 10 millimeters or 40 Smith & Wesson through it. And they're coming out with two versions here. I think it's a 6-inch and a 4-inch, I believe. It's an end frame. It's like the, you know, 357 Magnum, same frame. And let's see if I can find the barrel links here. It was, yeah, 4.5 and 6-inch. So the I wouldn't mind having one of these. I'm not sure why. But they're $1,000, so I'm not real excited about jumping out there and grabbing one, but good-looking gun. It's kind of based on the it's cheaper than the Red Hawk frame. It's based more on the GP100 than the Red Hawk, which the Red Hawk was similar anyway to the GP frame. But they introduced this first time in 1990, and then they jumped on some more marketing in 1998 and tried to get it going again, but they closed it out again in 2005. And it, even in 2005, it had only been out just for a little while then. So, neat gun. And I'll tell you, as expensive as it is, if you've got that kind of money to put into a revolver, these Smith & Wessons shoot. I mean, they shoot well. I've got a quarter in my bunch of stuff out there that I shot with another guy's, what was it, Model 27, I think, in Germany. And they're exceedingly accurate. They shoot really well. Not sure if they're quite up to par with a good, finely tuned Python, but they're not too far behind it. Both of them fantastic revolvers. So, like I said, I'm not, I still have a convertible 22 Magnum revolver. And I've got a, what else do I have? Oh, a little 2-inch 38 that I keep for deep concealment. But other than that, I'm not much of a revolver fan anymore. All right, onward and upward. Let's see here. Let me move this out of the way. And let's go to Facebook. Facebook right now, and I thought this was probably fake news at first when I saw it. But apparently, this is all over on major news networks now. Apparently, Facebook is banning white nationalism from platform after pressure from civil rights group, it says. So it doesn't say that, I see that obviously what they've got pictured in their deal here is a hate group of some kind. But be that as it may, if they're going to ban them, what about Black Lives Matter and some of these other outfits that obvious hate groups. You know, I've always wondered why, how come that they have Black Pride parades and all this kind of stuff. Do you know what would happen if we have a White Pride parade? We were going to do that one time in New Mexico, and I don't remember. Maybe Tebow remembers why we didn't do that. I don't remember what happened, but. Yeah, Tebow, that trooper was a great gun, too. It's just under the Python there a little bit. Trooper Mark III, very nice revolver. But Tebow, I don't know if you were even, I don't even think you were working with me then. I think you were still doing the out at the truck deal that you were doing. And we were thinking about doing a White Pride float or something in a parade. I don't remember whatever come of it. Anyway, so what's happening here with Facebook, they're banning, it says, white nationalism, white supremacy from the social network, and following some criticism that it had not done enough to eliminate this hate speech. Well, they haven't done anything at all. They don't even make the slightest attempt to stop some of the stuff that Black Lives Matter, even ISIS, even different types of terrorist groups. Now, the groups themselves may not be posting, but people are posting about them and for them, and nothing seems to happen. You can send in a complaint for some vile, despicable stuff, and they say, well, it doesn't really violate our conditions of, you know, whatever the hell they call it there. But someone can send something in about you. As a matter of fact, Chris Ann Hall has been banned more than once from Facebook. She's back now. But she's been knocked out a time or two. And, Alex Jones and a few of these others have been kicked out permanently from Facebook for their ideas and thoughts on things. So, you know, we keep trying to move over to Gab, and a few people have gone over there. I don't know, when I say a few people, I mean a few of the people that I know have gone over there. Thousands and thousands of people. They're growing, as of about 2 months ago, they were growing at 10,000 members a day going to Gab. Because on Gab, you can say whatever you, if it's not illegal, you can say it. If you don't like it, block it. If you don't like it, don't read it. But there is no limitation on what you can say on Gab if it's not illegal. So, now, the way they'll get around that at some point is they'll make stuff that is not illegal now illegal in the future, and Gab may have to have a hard decision to make there. But, anyway. Yeah, Tebow, that was back when, I think, when we were on Positive, when we were still doing the show from that diner, TJ's. I'm pretty sure that's when we were doing it. So that was long before your time, before you came around to the to help me at the store. For those of you that don't know, and most of you do, Tebow used to work with me at the gun shop, and he had I gave him his own little corner of the shop over there, and he put in absolutely the best CB radio shop in all of San Juan County, probably in all of northern New Mexico. We had Tebow is a wizard when it comes to tuning these things, and we sold a lot of them, tuned a lot of them, installed a lot of them, tested a lot of them. You know, we had a bass that run all the time there in the shop, and we just had a hell of a good time with these radios. And I still have one in my truck right now. Actually, I have two. I have one in my truck and one in the shop, both that that Tebow tuned for me. And they're still, that one you put in the truck for me, Tebow's still running, doing fine, does a fine job. So, all right, it's almost break time. I've been blabbing here. Let's. How about this thing with this, what the hell is his name, Jussie Smollett? What a name, what a handle. Jussie Smollett, whatever you call it. 16 counts of disorderly conduct for lying to the police and about a hate crime. And prosecutors have dropped it all. Dropped the whole thing. even though the people, remember, if you don't remember the guy we're talking about, if you don't know, is the, he's some type of movie star. I think, I don't remember what the name of the show was. It was like, started with an E. Was it Enterprise or something like that? He was unhappy with the amount of money he's making, and he wanted to do something sensational to get his name out there and get his ratings up. Empire was the name of the show, and get his ratings up there a little bit. So he hired two guys to come beat him up, although most of the marks he put on, they say, were self-inflicted. But, you know, poured bleach on him and done all this stuff, got him a red mega hat. And the guys admitted to doing this. After the police found some surveillance videos and stuff of them buying this stuff, and they were black, too, and admitted to what they did, and it became apparent that he paid for this, and 16 counts, and he's, and it is all down the drain. He just let it go. He just dropped it. I am absolutely appalled by the fact that they would do that. I can't even. And then they're going to seal the records. What is the purpose of that? Said he volunteered to forfeit his $10,000 bail. So what? $10,000, that's like me forfeiting a $20 bail. It don't matter to these people. It's amazing to me. Just can't even imagine. But like so many things in this country, in this world, that would be better if they would just ask me first. That's all I ask. And this would be much better. No, I know that's not going to go over, but anyway, we'll keep an eye on this. We'll see. There's a lot of people not happy about it. Even some people that surprised me quite a bit that are not happy about it. In Chicago and over near Chicago. So they'll be. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this. So I'll let you know as soon as something comes up. All right, well, I think it's time for time to run over here and take a little break, and then we've got some, going to talk about some body armor and a couple other things here after the break, so stand by.
Now, war is coming between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness, or will you fight?
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the red.
Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself there at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife, called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log, get his tackle lid back in the groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. Gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go and said, farewell, I'm leaving as of now. Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still that bear kept coming on behind.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. Elmer said, now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush. The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, this fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop? And Elmer said, honey, you go tell that to the bear. And Elmer's wife said, listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive? He said, I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The lights and the fiber.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere. So many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right in, step right down. Baby, let your hair hang down.
Well, okay then. Apparently the producer forgot to put something in there to bring us back. So we're back, whether we like it or not. Okay, a couple of quick things here. Let me see. Oh, one last deal here. You know, this, and I've said this several times over the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, a couple of months maybe. I'm impressed with the size of some of these rallies and, the fact that the sheriffs are standing up and pro-lifers are really getting out there. You know, Tebow and his bunch – There's a bunch of my friends on Facebook, and there's really some pretty impressive rallies and stuff being put together. And in Illinois, here just a week ago, 6 days ago, pro-lifers flooded into the Capitol building. They were opposing, obviously, the abortions up till birth. So many of them flooded into the Capitol building, they had to shut it down. That's what I'm talking about right there. When you have to shut down the state capitol because our people are flooding into it, we're doing it right. We're making the news. They can't sweep this under the rug. You know, when 35 people show up and bitch about something for a little while, that gets swept under the rug. And nothing much happens. You know, videos on Facebook, that's what happens. A few YouTube videos. But when the state capitol has to be closed down because that many people, I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and I mean, it is absolutely packed. Shoulder to shoulder, front to back, every person in this room is touching somebody else. It's packed like sardines. And they had to shut it down. And I'm impressed in hell with that. That's awesome. Okay, I said that we're going to talk about body armor a little bit. Reason being is because I continue to get, you know, an email once in a while or a text or something from somebody, you know, what kind of body armor should I get and all that. So it's not something that's easily answered in text, you know, in a few paragraphs. Usually what I'll do is direct them to a website or something, but for whatever reason, they didn't want to go to a website. They asked me. So I'm going to direct them to this show. And I wouldn't say that I am the leading world foremost authority on their foremost leading foremost authority. Yeah, I ain't the smartest knife in the drawer or the sharpest tool in the box or whatever about body armor. But you know, we've studied it quite a bit. We used to sell it. I've worn it a little bit. Every now and then I'll wear soft body armor on a security job or something. But I do know a lot of the, falsehoods, the fallacies that people spread about body armor. Body armor is not exactly bulletproof. Depending on what you're being, what do you shoot into it and what level it is, yes, it can be, but just because you have a quote-unquote bulletproof vest on doesn't mean that it's going to stop everything that somebody shoots you with. I don't even know where to start. There's how many different levels is there? There's, I think, 2A, 2, 3A, 3, and 4. And 4 stops armor-piercing 30-06. 2 stops, you know, 38 specials, 22s maybe, you know, it's better than nothing, but you have to kind of decide how much protection you want and how comfortable you're going to be. Now, for all these people that are getting it for poop hit the fan stuff, and they want to buy body armor and put it up forevermore and have it ready when the poop hits the fan. Well, there's a few things wrong with that. Number one, all body armor has a shelf life. Plates, no, but soft body armor has a shelf life. No matter who makes it, it is somewhere in the vicinity of 5 years, it starts losing its effectiveness. Now, that's just laying around. Depending on how it's treated, it may be much faster than that. The first thing is you don't hang your body armor. You can hang plate carriers with plates in them, but most of your plate carriers have no other protection other than the plate once you put it. That's not true. There's a lot of them that have, well, there's a lot of vests that have plate pockets on them. That's not a plate carrier. A plate carrier is only a like a apron thing here that goes and puts a plate front and back, and that's it. But some of them have side pockets to put side plates in. That's not a vest, and a vest with plate pockets is not a plate carrier. So your if your body armor, your soft body armor, is hanging in the closet, it's not going to last 5 years at all. Body armor needs to be stored flat, laying down flat on a shelf somewhere. If you've worn it out, let's say you want to do some training and practicing exercises with this stuff on to see how well you can perform and whatnot, the more you sweat in it, the more it gets wet, and the more it moves, the faster it breaks down. Every time you use it, you decrease the life just a tiny bit. So if you want to get some and put it away and have it where the poop hits the fan, you better hope poop hits the fan inside of 5 years, or, you know, within 5 or 6 years. That doesn't mean all body armor now, thanks to NIJ, the National Institute for Justice, I think it is. It's a government agency, a government organization that was started back in the 72, I think. And they have mandated certain things on body armor. And one of them is that they all have to have a shelf life. So when you get this good deal that you see on some website online, and it shows your $400 body armor for, you know, $175, you better check and make sure that it has the shelf life posted on it, that it's new, used body armor. You don't have any idea how it was stored. If it's in a humid environment and it was hanging and it's been used a few times, it's not the level that they say it is. So you've got to know a little bit. It pays to buy it new from a reputable dealer. It's expensive, but, you know, it is what it is. And you try to save money on that. You know, you're talking about stuff that could potentially save your life or someone else's. So you can't really cut corners on this. Now, as far as what do we want for, let's say, militia groups and preparedness and survival groups and whatnot, what do you want to get? You know, it's hard to recommend this because people have this preconceived notion here that having all this stuff makes you where you can just walk through a hail of fire and everything's going to be okay. Well, everything's going to be okay till somebody makes a headshot or shoots you in the armpit or in the groin or something. It's not foolproof. Level 4, you know, level 3 or 4 body armor is probably best used when you're driving a vehicle or behind a sandbag position at the house or something like that, or to wrap up the kids and the elderly and whatever, try to protect them when they can't, you know, run to cover and stuff like you can. So now I think we've talked about this before, and I know some guys that we had him on the show one time. His name was on the show was Armored Recon. And this guy's been involved in black bagging people in Australia and whatnot. I mean, he's been there and done that and been around the block a time or two. And was with some of the most elite forces in Australia. And he said that most of them, unless they had a particular job, that most of them chose not to wear it because it just slowed them down too much. So you can be slowed down by all this stuff and have a little better chance of them hitting you, which may or may not do any damage if you got the body armor in, or you can have it off and be able to run a little faster and not get shot. I don't know. It's your call. You just have to kind of decide, you know, what you're going to do with it, what you're up against, what kind of cover you have while you're moving, how fast do you need to move, are you in a vehicle, or you know, lot of different factors will decide what it is you need to get. But you're going to spend, you know, you get a good quality vest and plates for it. You get ceramic plates. They're a lot lighter. I've got ceramic and steel. A whole lot lighter. And I was going to say, if you need to jump, run, move quickly, be agile and everything, you're not going to do it with all that on. You're just not. I don't care how tough you are. It's going to slow anybody down. Tebow says enough shots. And, well, yeah, and some of that, it only takes one shot. You get one good shot on a ceramic plate, it doesn't damage the steel plates too much until unless you get something that's more powerful and more penetration than a armor-piercing .30-06. But you start shooting soft body armor and it stops a bullet, well, right there in that immediate area, it may not stop the next bullet, depending on what caliber hits you in the same place the next time. So, you know, chances of that happening are pretty slim, but if you happen to wander into a firefight somewhere and get shot 39 times in your soft body armor, that 40th shot may be the deal breaker for you. What stops, the reason this style, let me rephrase that, what penetrates body armor primarily, two things, diameter and speed. You know, a 12-gauge slug's got a lot of energy, but it doesn't take as much to stop that as it does, many different types of rifles and whatnot. So, you know, your level 2A stuff is for your, just for handguns mostly. I think we already said that. It will stop some of your 9mm and 40s and things like that. The level 2, little bit beefier than that, will go to 357 Magnum. And the 124 grain 9mm. The level 3A, now this is getting, the 3A is probably for the most part, that's about as low as I'd like to go for soft body armor. I think what I have for soft body armor is 2. But, and I'll tell you the truth, it's way old. It's not 2 anymore. It would be good for some things, but it's not 2 anymore. I can promise you that. So level 3A, you can get up to the 357 SIG, which is nothing more than a 9mm on steroids, 41 or 44 Magnum. Now, when you get into the level 3, it'll stop a lot of different rifles. The level 3A might stop a few rifles, but not too many. It would stop a 30 carbine probably. But your velocity threshold for level 3A is like somewhere between 16 and 1800 feet a second. So not going to stop too many rifles. Now, it would stop a rifle if you were a long ways away. When it says it won't stop a rifle, it depends on how far away you are. If you take a 7.62 by 39 and you're 300 or 400 yards away, yes, it will stop it. But if you're 50 yards away, no, it won't. So the level 3 will stop full metal jacketed 308. It'll stop any of your 7.62 NATO stuff, except what's the black armor piercing. The level 4 will stop armor piercing 30-06. So those are your choices right there. Hard to decide, but I think the level 3A is a little bit heavier than the level 2A. And level 2. Level 2 will stop your, most of your average handguns, and you're probably okay with that for day-to-day stuff. But if you're out on the battlefield, then you're obviously going to need three or four. And you can achieve level three without plates. You cannot achieve level four without plates unless something has changed dramatically in the last very few years. And once you get plates and everything in there, then you're back to, you know, wandering around like RoboCop with all this crap on you. So there you have it. You can take that for what it's worth. Copper says the 12-gauge slug tends to make the front panel come in contact with the back panel. Yeah, there is a there's definitely some energy in there, but will it hurt? Absolutely. Will it bruise you up? Without a doubt. Will it kill you? No. Not if you have the right level. It'll make you wish you were dead, but you're not going to die. Let me see. I just got a information here from someone. Let me check and see what it is. Alright, that can wait. Okay. Well, that's our little useless bit of information for this Wednesday evening. This Friday, day after tomorrow, this Friday will not be live. I have a job to go on this Friday night. Sorry about that. But I will do my ever-loving best to have you a brand spanking new hot-off-the-press pre-record so you'll think I'm here. How about that? But I will not be done with my project here in time to make it back for the show on Friday. So Amy's show is not going to change. It's still going to, at least for now. We may pull the plug on it, you know, later on too. We'll see what happens. But so I guess starting this Friday from henceforth, we'll be doing Liberty Lounge will not be live any longer unless something were to change pretty dramatically. So I figured it up here, and I have spent quite a bit, upwards of $3,000 on this show since I took it over from Bobby. And so that's it's just getting a little tough to continue to do that. I've done it now for, not only from the time that took it over from Bobby, but it started in 2005, 2006. So of course, back in those days, we had sponsors and stuff, and you know, the show was being paid for. That was a little bit different. All right, let's see if I can get this stuff going here, and we'll start easing towards the door. And I'll have a, if I could stop this cotton picking thing from doing this. There we go. All right, now I'm not sure what, were both servers running? Does anybody know if both servers were running? If the 32 and the 64 were both running, I don't know. Okay, well, I guess we'll find out here shortly because I'm changing them around as we sprecken. Okay, I'm going to get out of here, and we will see you again live on Monday. And for some reason, I can't talk and push buttons at the same time tonight. Okay, I got it. I'll see you Monday night. Thank you for joining me, and we'll have a fresh pre-record.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.
When the lights wear out, like staring off a corner on a busy street, like a pretty broken knot you walked your feet, like a change in the weather or the drop of